We kick off hour number two. Football Friday edition of the program is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Anything a bank can do, they've got you right here across all of East Tennessee. Been doing it for almost 90 years. We're members. You should be too. Go to tvacreditunion.com.
It's a lot of year.
Become a member or walk into over 30 branches right here in East Tennessee. It's the official credit union of Three and Out. Back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We've got Randall on the horn. What's up, Randall? You're on Three and Out.
I noticed we had another song about Chris. Was that the Houston song?
That's right. Hickman picked it. I didn't request it.
Well, I wanted to talk to you guys today instead of singing my stupid songs.
Oh, they're not stupid,
no,
Randall.
Man,
come on.
They're a treat.
I appreciate you guys letting me sing my songs, but I want to talk about some of the things that I'm concerned about this game.
Okay.
I'm like a stat nerd and a football film watching nerd, and I went and watched all the Florida games this weekend. You can watch condensed games in 25 minutes. And the guys that really stood out on offense to me are the backup running backs, Montrell Johnson, and Etienne, Travis mm-hmm. Etienne's brother.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I watched it. I was like, these guys have some big runs. They're explosive. They're fast. And Montrell Johnson's stats are just off the charts. He's averaging 9.6 yards per carry, almost a first down every carry. He's got 240 rushing yards on 25 attempts. I got a lot of this information from a guy named Brandon Olson, who has a podcast, has a show like you guys have. And they said that he runs between the tackles. He's forced 8 missed tackles, and he's had 9 carries of 10 or more yards. And that Etienne, the true freshman, whose older brother is a Jacksonville Jaguars running back. I believe he played for Clemson.
Yep.
He's got 22 carries on 166 yards, 7.5 yards per carry. Did you guys realize how explosive, how good these running backs are? Have you been following that?
They were outside of Anthony Richardson's ability to just spring one on you. I mean, if you watch – I tuned in for the Utah game, and those guys are just gashing Utah. This is opening drive. So this is before Utah's like, oh, it's too hot, we're getting sick on the side. This is fresh Utah versus fresh Florida, and those guys were absolutely gashing Utah. In fact, that first drive, they probably go down and put one in the end zone if Naquan Wright doesn't come in and put the football on the ground. I think Naquan Wright was the starter. And then those two guys have the carries are actually pretty balanced, but those two guys are really, really good. And Montrell Johnson, is he the one that came with him from Louisiana?
Yes, he came with Napier to Florida from Louisiana. I think he was – is it called the Sun Belt, the conference that
yes.
Napier coached? He was a Sun Belt Freshman of the Year last year. So I can remember when I was a kid, when I was – 12 years old, and I go over there and watch him play Georgia, and nobody even knew who Herschel Walker was. That was his first game of his college career. And I can remember going to the concession stand at halftime and people saying, we need to put Herschel in. And I'm sitting there like, that is a weird name. And then after halftime, everybody knew who he was, and they've known him ever since. But I'm hoping – for a win. I don't care if we cover or not, but these running backs scare me.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Randall. It's going to be a battle of styles, right? I mean, I think they're going to try and come out and, like Philly said, just pound the football. And I think they'll probably try and keep the game pretty simple for Anthony Richardson early. And if they can rip off runs, and then Tim Banks is going to know that, though, and he's going to have guys close to the line of scrimmage. He's going to copy a lot of what Kentucky did that they had success with. I'm sure he's going to look at what South Florida did. as well. And if Florida can have long, sustained drives where they lean on the running game and then bootleg off of that, play action off of that, easy throws to the flat, easy throws over the middle, I think the smartest thing for Florida to do would be on the first play of the game, go pistol, play action, and tell Anthony Richardson to throw the ball as far as he can for a just bomb incompletion to start the game.
Just to back the safeties
up. Just to back them up.
Yep.
Yep. Have Shorter or whoever, Xavier Henderson, I think.
Pearsall, yeah.
Whoever's the fastest, have them run a little stutter and go and just tell him to throw the thing 80 yards. Like, just it's a punt, pass, and kick competition. Mm-hmm. Throw that thing into the checkerboard if you have to. And then, you know, they'll pound the football, and they'll try and stay on the field, and they'll try and it'll be like, I mean, they'll try and beat us like Kentucky did last year. And even if our offense is clicking, if they can keep ours off the field and have long drives and score points, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way they're going to try and win.
Florida's fifth in the conference in rushing. They're second in per yards, like attempt, 6.42.
And those stats really can be good. A little misleading, too. Because
who's first in yards per attempt?
Not us. No. Probably Ole Miss.
Because Florida's played South Florida. They haven't played an FCS. That's their worst opponent. They haven't played an FCS team like a lot of.
Alabama's first.
Okay.
So, like, Alabama's played, like, Texas. UL Monroe, one of the worst teams in college football. Yeah. You know, they did play Texas. But Florida's had to play, you know, two defenses that are pretty decent and then a team with a pulse.
Yeah.
You know, there's no FCS team to hang 63 on and – you know, whatever. Mac
and we haven't exactly run it well against anybody so far.
Yeah.
We're ninth.
I mean, I think we're going to have to throw the football.
We've also ran the ball 45 more times than they have.
Well, we're running so many more plays. That makes sense. Because how many – didn't they run like 38 plays?
They have 99 rushing attempts in the season. We have 131.
Yeah, but didn't they run like 38 plays or something against Kentucky?
Yeah,
it was a super, super low number.
And they've been having to throw it because they fall behind in a couple games too. Because we're tied for first in the conference in rushing touchdowns with 12.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a lot to you, especially early in the season.
I mean,
the best sign for Tennessee is that South Florida ran the football against Florida. Because if you're looking at Utah's run game, you could say, well, Utah is probably a little more physical than we are in the run game. We're better. Obviously, our pass game is superior, but – you know, Kentucky always kind of tries to pride themselves on making the game, you know, more physical, whatever. But it's that game last week against the weakest team on their schedule that has you going, man, Florida might suck. And if they play that way, tomorrow we'll be in good shape. But, yeah, no, if they're able to push us around and keep their offense on the field and run the football – a lot of Tennessee fans are saying, even the ones that are kind of afraid of the game, are saying, I can't figure out how Florida wins the game. That's how Florida wins the game.
100%. They run the football with a lot of success. They keep our offense off the field, and then they hit a couple of those play action, but either a busted coverage or just, you know, throw one as far as they can, and the guy runs underneath it. Yeah. That's just the way I see it going in my head.
Yeah.
Like, ideally, I think if you can get Florida to the red zone, they have not been good in the red zone. I think you can kind of bend but don't break in the red zone, force field goals. I think you'll be okay. The problem is if they're running it on you, and then they bust one for 35, 40 yards and score a touchdown, either on a play action or they just, you know, break a tackle and skip on into the end zone, you know, then you're going to have some issues. You got to make them work for it.
So
and that's what they're going to try to do.
South Florida had two guys rush for over 100 yards on Florida.
The quarterback and the running back.
Yeah, Beatty had 150 yards on 17 carries with a touchdown. Bohannon, the quarterback, had 102 on 15 carries and a touchdown. Another interesting thing about that game, those are two of the four teams in college football last week that played that neither team have thrown for a passing touchdown this year. South Florida still doesn't have one on the season either.
Neither is Hawaii, I think, was a team. And they're obviously terrible.
And like we talked about, like South Florida's running backs just – physically, just looking at them, nothing special.
Yeah, not very big.
It's not like we're dealing with a Derrick Henry here. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, what's funny is that's like our weakness is running the football. Their weakness is stopping the run. You know, looking at the matchup on the other side, we're on offense. But I can't decide if that's good for us. I mean, it could be, but is it? If they are better, we don't know how good they are against the pass because they've been so easy to run on.
True,
and because South Florida is not a passing juggernaut we are, right? Like.
And Utah tried. Utah tried and did pretty well in the last drive when they had to throw it. But Utah didn't have the athletes on the outside.
They're not like us either. Yeah,
that could be a good thing that they've not really seen a pass-heavy offense this year.
We haven't seen a running team like Florida either, though. I mean, the one team we saw, Pitt ran the ball well against us.
They had two good runs against us. I thought we did a pretty good job outside of those.
Brian
two plays.
Beatty for South Florida, their starting running back, 5'8", 164.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once Pitt tried to go to those heavy sets and pound us with the football, they had a little success, but we adjusted very quickly, and I'll give Tim Banks a lot of credit for that. And came, you know, once we realized Patty was limping around in the fourth quarter, and they tried to do those like double wing formations and run a lot of just like stretch zone right at us, we made the adjustments, and that's when we started stuffing their run game. That's when their offense went completely stagnant, and basically the muff punt's the only way they got down to score the game.
And our defense has been great against third down. We've been getting off the field,
and Florida's has been terrible apparently.
And our red zone defense has been good. I mean. Well,
I mean, still though, it's two MAC teams and a limping backup quarterback. So, like,
We're perfect on red zone attempts this year.
I fear.
Yeah, and our touchdown rate's really high too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way we lose the game is we've overrated. We're a little overrated. We make mistakes, and they're able to push us around, and that makes the game easier for them. If we hold up at the line of scrimmage, it's going to be very difficult for them to score a bunch of points. And it's going to be very hard. We know it's going to be hard for them to keep us from at least scoring a good amount, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the Utah game is weird because neither team goes fast. There were very few possessions in that game, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so when there's very few possessions, you make some mistakes like Utah did in the red zone, all of a sudden – you open yourself up to get beat, and boom, it happened. All right, we'll come back with more. Lots to get into, of course. It's Hour 2, 3 and Out, Football Friday edition of the program on Fan Run Radio. 7:30 in the night. Ooh, ooh. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. You come around, yeah. You ease my mind, you make everything feel fine. Worry about those comments, I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I need the high. Welcome back. Hour 2 continues here live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. Gonna need a lot of beverages this weekend.
One way or the other.
Load up. Mm-hmm. 5% alcohol by volume, 1 gram of sugar, only 100 calories. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure.
Captain Touchback says, based on who we've played and how we've played against them, this needs to be our best game of the year by far to take down Florida. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree, except with the by far statement. I don't know that you have to be that much better than you were in the Pitt game, but you need to be better.
You clean up two dumb mistakes, and that game looks a lot different.
You need to kind of.
They didn't score on the blocked punt, right? They missed a field goal.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
They would have scored on the blocked punt had those teammates not forced each other out of bounds.
If the defense plays the whole game like they played in the second half, and the offense plays the whole game like they played in the first half, like that. But I guess it's just kind of semantics at that point. It depends on your definition of far better. Really hard to tell when you play bad MAC teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, we're a little untested. We're kind of the, you know, and they are. So, it's.
I feel like we've had one good test. It was on the road. We battled. We won in overtime. Like, I don't know.
They've kind of been Jekyll and Hyde. They had one good test at home. They won. Then they had another pretty good test.
They failed miserably.
Yep. And then they had the one last week where it's like, whoa, this game should not be this close. They did survive, but we need to play our best game. this game to make sure. I think you can win the game if you play kind of a ho-hum game, because I'm not sure how good Florida is. But that's not – this is not a series where you want to roll the dice saying, well, we played pretty well. We probably got it. You know, we've probably had it a couple times here, not too distant past, and it's not turned out the way we want. So, whew. Back to the phone lines. Let's grab Rusty on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. What's up, buddy? You're on three and out.
Fellas, how we doing this morning?
We're hanging in there.
Well, listen, I don't want to pull the show down, but I'm going to tell you guys, everybody keeps talking about how they don't see a way Florida or Tennessee loses this game, right? I'm sorry. History tells me I don't see a way Tennessee wins this game. I get it. These players, you know, they're not responsible for the last, whatever, 30 years. I understand that. But, guys, look at it. Everything sets up. You know what this year reminds me of? This, and maybe I've got my years wrong, but this feels like 2012 all over again.
Mm.
Game days, what is it, the college game day?
Yep, they were here.
To the campus.
Yep.
Everyone's excited. I may be wrong about this, but I've been checking around. A lot of the big pundits, the national guys, are picking Tennessee to win. I know Bruce Feldman is. A few of the others, Stuart Mandel, you know, some of these guys that traditionally hate Tennessee, they're picking us. I went back and I tried to check this because, you know, those guys were picking back then. A lot of them did the same things in 12, guys.
Yeah.
And I was reasonable at the beginning of this week. I wasn't Hickman or Brett confident, but then you get this news that, well, you know, the Miller kid's probably going to go ahead and play. Oh, and by the way, you know, Tillman, yeah, he's probably out, and it's fine, but you know, Sampson's got a tweaked ankle and Small, that shoulder's doing it again, guys. This, you know, everybody talks about, well, this is Florida hate week. No, this is just Florida week. It's just a week where if everything, whatever can go wrong, it's just going to go wrong. Look, I hope they win. Man, for my sanity, living down here in Florida, dear God, please win this game. Because I'll tell you this, I've never seen the Florida fan base less confident in their team. I'll say that for them. But I don't see the path to victory here.
Rusty,
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Rusty, you reminded me of a thought I had when Cedric Tillman went down in the Akron game. I said, God, that feels like Justin Hunter. Wasn't that the game, Houston?
It was Florida down there. No, that wasn't 2012. It was the year before. 2011. 2012
was
up
here.
That was 11 in the swamp.
You have the year right, Rusty. 2012 is the
year
you're talking
about. Was up
here
where we had CP and
Hunter. We beat NC State.
Had
the offense looked great.
High flying offense.
You hung 51 on Georgia State the next week.
Yep.
And you host Florida and you lose 37-20.
See, I was actually thinking that Hunter went down, but Houston, you're right. That was 11. That was 11, and it was in the swamp. But still, it just, like I said, I don't know. Probably earlier in the week, I would have gone something like, I felt like it was going to be a much closer game. I think that point spread is way, way too big for this game. Like earlier in the week, I would have said something like, I don't know, 31-24. But now, I'm sorry. I just feel like, especially with, you know, Adam was just talking about it. I think it was Adam talking before the break about, you know, this is a really good rushing team. So we've got to stop it. And, you know, until we do, I don't see how you say Tennessee can stop Florida. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. Listen, I tell you this. If I'm wrong, I'll call back in on Monday and I'll leave the work. Oh, okay, I'll do that as long as Adam is showing up.
I'll be here.
We've at least got him committed to showing up. He has said he will take a vow of silence, which I will not allow.
No. Not after your performance earlier in the week, kind sir. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Rules are rules.
Hey, guys. Hey, hope we win. Hope we win. And if so, like I said, I'll call in and eat some crow Monday morning, guys. Y'all take it easy.
Thanks for the call.
The good news is Josh Heupel does not appear to be anywhere close to Derek Dooley. And that was the Salison Series Swiss Cheese defense. It's early, but we do appear to have a stronger defense than that year. It's early.
Who was it that compared our defense to Salison Series before the season?
Who was that?
Said, well, yeah, it was something like Salison Series watching us thinking, this is bad. Well, it wasn't. It was after Ball State.
Yeah, it was.
Was that Roberto?
No, it wasn't Roberto.
It wasn't. It was somebody that hasn't called back very much.
Well, that's probably why.
Yeah.
Number one defense in the conference.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but in Derek Dooley's defense, that schedule that year was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't be losing at Vanderbilt, but still. I mean, Florida was 18th. Somebody let me know, I think it was One Stripe said, Tennessee was a three-point favorite that year.
Yes, three-point favorite.
Basically a pick 'em, and Tennessee was a home team.
And lost by 17. Because we couldn't stop the Wildcat.
Yeah.
And by Wildcat, I mean he literally just got the snap and took off. It wasn't like read option, zone read, anything like that. It was just, I'm going to get it and run at you.
The next week, Tennessee beat Akron at home 47-26. So still kind of like, okay, maybe we're not that bad. You go on the road to Georgia, you can't stop them at all. You score a bunch of touchdowns late, but 51-44, you lose. Then you have to go on the road to Mississippi State, which doesn't sound like a bad game now, but they were 19th at the time. You lose by 10. Then it's number one Alabama coming back home. You lose 44-13. Then you go on the road to South Carolina, who was a top 20 team. They were 17th in the country. You only lose by 3. You beat Troy. And then the wheels really fell off.
You blew up Lattimore's knee that game.
Because you could.
Okay.
No, that was a different game.
Huh.
No, maybe. I can't remember.
No, I think it was that game.
I think it was that game. You're right.
That game we had a chance late, and then Jadeveon Clowney beat Tiny Richardson for the one time he beat him all game, got the sack, fumble on Bray.
Yeah, you beat Troy, but then, you know, you got to find a way to beat Missouri. You couldn't do that. 4 overtimes you lose, and then at Vanderbilt you lose as well. I mean, it would have been 7-5 if you won those last two games, and you could have been like, well, we're 7-5, and we played, you know, 5 top 20 teams, 2 of which in the top 5. Those were our only losses, but you lose those two, and it's like, yeah, this is not going well. It's definitely a different place right now with this. Like, we've never been double-digit favorites with literally everyone.
I don't think ever.
Yeah, I mean, it.
Ever.
It's almost have to be like pre-gambling time.
I mean, I realize a lot of them were VFLs, but I read 19 score predictions yesterday from the Vols Wire post. Some of them were from LSU and Florida, and all 19 had the Vols winning, and I think all but 2 or 3 had the Vols covering. I did read the CBS panel this morning. They all picked Tennessee. Only 2 had Tennessee covering, but they all picked Tennessee to win. Obviously, game day tomorrow, there'll be a bunch of picks on that. We'll see what those guys say. But right now, I haven't seen anyone whose name I recognize taking Florida. Or even anyone who writes for a site that I recognize, even if I don't recognize their name. Oh, yeah, that site I've heard of.
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yep. We'll come back with more Hour 2. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 2 continues. It's 3 and Out. Game day eve. Show's gone pretty quick, but today's going to go so
when you're prepared, you know, typically they go by a lot faster.
Well, it's been a lot shorter show to this point. Due to the late start.
Dejon Reynolds, that's who that was.
What does he do?
He's a receiver. Hadn't done much.
Big guy?
They pop passed it to him. No, just kind of medium. He must be pretty fast if they're trying to pop pass it to him against Utah.
Did it work?
Neutral, like 4 yards, 5 yards.
They average 5 yards of completion.
The pop pass is their best pass play.
it might actually. Well, I'm telling you, that seemed to Pearsall. They love that. They go to it all the time.
Yeah. Well,
he hit it early against Utah.
Yeah, I mean, Richardson made enough throws against Utah where you're like, he throws it well enough to, you know, move him down the field and lean on the run game, but it's the games after that where it's been a big problem.
I'm glad Florida has the strength on offense of running the football, because I feel a lot better about our defense slowing the run game down than our secondary would stopping an elite passing offense.
Good.
You might be right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
I mean, we do have the number one defense in the conference right now. I know that is skewed by playing two terrible teams, but, I mean, we've seen flashes of greatness out of this defense at times against Pitt, and we've seen flashes of, like, what the hell are you doing? I will always, 10 times out of 10, I will take a run-heavy team any day of the week.
The only thing I don't like about it is it may keep our offense on the sideline for long periods of time.
And then if we come out and miss one pass,
yeah.
a little high because we're not in rhythm, does that stunt the whole drive, you know?
I mean, it worked against Kentucky. We had less than 15 minutes of possession, but every time we got it, we were going and scoring, except for the fumble.
That's the danger of being a pass-happy team, right? Like, if you're a run team, like a bad run, instead of 6 yards, you got three. You know, it's the problem with being a pass team is a bad pass and it's
zero.
Second and 10.
Yeah.
This might be a hot take.
Oh, boy, here we go.
But I feel like if we score first, there's no way in hell we lose this game. And
Nate read the stat.
That is a touchdown. That's not a field goal. If we go up 7-0.
Heupel's undefeated here in games he scored. Or is it one loss in games he scores first? No, he's undefeated in games he scored first. He's won one game where the other team has scored first, and that was Pitt this year.
I just don't see Florida being able to hang around with us offensively. They don't have the firepower.
No, it's very important that our offense not look bad. I mean, that's not a hot take, but I do wonder the loss of Tillman, and we obviously at this point we don't know. He may try to give it a go. Maybe he's not even dressed out, somewhere in between. I just don't know. But if you don't have Tillman, like, have you seen enough from Brew McCoy to say, like, yep, that guy can definitely get open against SEC secondaries?
I haven't seen it.
Now, if it's one-on-one, I don't care, because I think you can lob it up to him and he can bully some people and just go up and get it.
I assume he can, but we haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Hyatt I feel good about, but if they double cover him, then what?
I don't think you can really double cover anybody in this
slot.
Offense.
That's fair.
In the slot, right? Can you do it in the slot? It's a little harder.
I mean, you can. Just whatever the cue for the safety is, just shade Hyatt. But then would leave
one-on-one outside.
That could leave Brew. Well, and if it's Brew, like I said, I'm okay with that, but it'd be much nicer if Tillman was out there on the other side, and then you had the whole left side of the field in single because they have to double Tillman.
Tillman and Brew are really good at coming back to the ball. Like when they do a stop route or something, they come back to the ball rather than just sitting there. And they're huge, so the corners can't get around them. Florida's defense on the field for 41 minutes last week.
This is the play that scares me, because this is all about your linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Can your linebacker run with that dude? And I don't think ours can.
Is that Montrell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, was
for those who weren't watching, which is everybody. It was like a power run look to the left side, with a boot action to the running back who leaked out the opposite side, and then you've got your linebacker chasing basically across the field, and Florida ends up dumping it down to the running back for a walk-in touchdown. Well, a touchdown.
It was fourth and two as well, so you're kind of having to.
You're selling out for the run, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then,
but in the red zone, that's a really good play.
The problem. The solution to that is
I think our linebackers are faster than that Utah linebacker. I will say that.
The solution is to not get in third and two and fourth and two, is to be in third and eight. That's what Kentucky did.
Yeah.
And then they just dropped everybody, kept their eyes on Richardson. He can't make a throw. He takes off the run. They come up tackle, or he, you know, does a pick, incompletion, whatever.
Florida is 14 of 36
on third down. And their defense was on the field how long last week, Brett?
I think I saw like 38 or 40 minutes. Their offense was like 20 something.
I mean, they're not a deep team
on
either side of the ball.
South Florida was like 9 of 15 on third down, 2 of 2 on fourth down.
Chris asked this question. He says, Do you feel good at all about the fact that if Hooker struggles, Milton looks better and is a bigger threat on the run?
I don't know that I agree he's a bigger threat on the run. I don't think he's quite as fast as Hooker. I think he did finish that run well against Ball State when he got it. He actually finally lowered the shoulder and hit somebody, but I don't think that's what you would want to do if Hooker were to go down or look bad. I don't think all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, we'll just pound you with Joe Milton.
There's no way in hell they're pulling Hendon Hooker out of this football game unless he's hurt. Yeah. First of all, let's get that out of the way. And second of all, I'm not buying into any, not one iota of Joe Milton hype because of his garbage time against MAC teams. I'm sorry.
He couldn't even
not.
Hit those deep balls last year, though. I mean, I get where you're coming from, but those are throws he misses last year.
Yeah. When like you're up 50 against a MAC team, you're relaxed. They said he hit them in practice, but he couldn't hit them in the pit game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. I'm glad he hit them against the MAC team.
Yeah. But you're not banking that on, oh, yeah, he can do that forever against anybody from now on.
Especially when I've got Hendon Hooker, who I know can make throws against good teams.
Hear me out. Just a little one-play experiment. Our first offensive play, we trot Joe Milton out there. We just let him fling it to Jalen Hyatt down the sideline.
I wish that train was still there.
Let's see if he can handle the pressure.
Where's that train?
Why don't we put Milton at tailback, Hooker in the under center in the eye, with a tight end in front as the fullback. We'll run the toss sweep halfback pass and let Milton throw it 85 yards. Yeah,
we'll
I love that
Milton
idea.
Just put Milton in for Tillman out wide.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's about the size of Brew McCoy.
Play him at the ghost position like we do in flag football, where he's even with Hendon Hooker, 7 yards off the ball, and on the snap he backs up a little. That way, at any moment, Hooker can throw a lateral across field, and then Milton can rethrow
it. Yeah. Throwback. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
I mean, this offense is foolproof.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a play where they're both on the field,
I like
though.
The plan. Scrap everything we've done to this point. Yeah. Install a brand new gimmicky offense.
We're going ghost offense.
This is exactly what we need.
John Tarleton Fields down here.
Let's not overthink it, Heupel. Let's just do this and beat Florida. They've never seen it before.
Shouts out to Todd, who used to run that offense like a champ.
Let's not forget about our secret weapon in the backfield, Princeton Fant, possibly.
Yes, mm-hmm. Getting emergency carries during practice.
The Royal, what do we
the
call
Fant,
it?
Fant
the
run
Fant
package.
Run package.
Fant Run Package, yep.
Fant Run Power Package.
What could go wrong?
Nuclear Power Pant.
Power Fant. Pant. Power Pants.
I was trying to do the George W. He's like, nuclear power plant. Power Pant.
Plower Pant?
Yeah.
Did you notice it felt like football this morning outside? Calm, cool, crisp.
It did.
I mean, it feels like, you know, cramping tomorrow shouldn't be a problem for the Gators. It's not going to be humid.
Tomorrow might be a perfect football day.
It looks nice. It looks really, yeah. And it won't get to that until kickoff.
It's a good southern football day.
Yes. It'll be nice and cool for those people tailgating, which is good. Please hydrate. Please hydrate. Just be responsible.
See, I've been, like, going back and forth. Like, do I wear a, like, light sweatshirt tomorrow or –
Dude, once you get into the game, you're not going to be cold, I promise you.
I know, but I like sweatshirts.
Yeah, but then you don't want to have to carry it around. Do you?
What if I just go like this, but in orange?
Yeah, today's going to mess with a lot of people.
Yeah, you're in the orange section?
Yep.
Because today's a good bit colder than tomorrow. So people today are like, oh, man, I better take a little jacket or something. Tomorrow, I think tomorrow's going to be back to perfect shorts and t-shirt weather, right?
I saw the high for tomorrow now set at 79. I've seen it between 81 and 79.
Still, I mean, that's hot. Like, if you're in the sun at 3:30, like...
it's supposed to be pretty breezy, though. Nice and breezy. Up to 16 mile an hour.
Still, though. It's still t-shirt and shorts, right?
Did you watch any of the Thursday night game last night?
Mm-mm. Well, I watched the last one.
That first kick by the Browns was really... He started it left of the left post.
Yeah.
And then that wind caught it.
Wide right.
And just, he looks over at the sidelines like, woo-hoo-hoo-wee, buddy. Did not think it was quite that strong.
Wow.
It was gusting, perfect right to left across the field. Or, you know, left to right, depending on which way you're going.
Wait. So I said it's perfect weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say we might have 16-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow.
But it was blowing 40 in Cleveland last night. Plus, Neyland Stadium, I don't remember a game where the wind in Neyland Stadium has ever...
Pass
it's such a tall...
Right.
You know, it's such a tall building.
Too, but.
Yeah, like if a punt gets up and starts. Yeah, but I know.
Thankfully, we've been really good in the punting department this year.
Well, we have.
We're talking about punts
off.
In the air.
Yeah. Well, we don't. Yeah, catching it might be.
We only had one.
Problem
God.
In the wind.
Why'd you have to say that?
Sorry. It's already a thing. I didn't bring it up.
Maybe we have Paxton hit a couple knuckleballs and they muff one.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't punt.
We're going to put Squirrel
there
back
there.
There
you go. There. That's good. I'm gonna go with no. Although
I'd
so
rather not put anybody back there, just at the risk.
Just
you
go no one.
He's
down.
Not. I'm not. I don't know if you're kidding or not. Yeah. I seriously, at this point, like,
I mean, what's the point?
Would it be crazy for a coach?
Flowers needs to let it bounce and then try to stop it instead of trying to catch it.
Just get your body behind it and go soccer goalkeeper. And
what a loser mentality! Just catch the damn ball.
He can't.
Just do punt safe. I don't care if you keep your defense out there. Just don't give them any.
No, just have somebody. Like
Zach Jancic back there will catch the football.
Yeah, that's what I want.
If it takes the perfect Florida bounce, I want him there to, you know, catcher it. You know,
what
get
if
down
trying to
in
fair
a stance.
Catch every one of them? You think that's part of the
Didn't
problem?
He try and do that against Pitt?
Well, yeah, wasn't.
Just
well,
wave the hand.
First of all, he faked a fair catch against Akron, which should have been a penalty.
Catch it with his face mask.
Then I think it was a fair catch call. Yeah, and he had his hands up above his face mask against Pitt. It was a. No. And first of all, like I love Trayvon Flowers. He's been a leader of the defense, but he's not going to house one against Florida. He's not going to house one against anyone left on the schedule except UT Martin, maybe.
Do you trot Squirrel back there this week?
Well, that's where this conversation started.
That's where this – I just see it going
honestly,
hero ball trying to make a play.
I'm not even kidding. When it comes to punt return, like for me as a coach, I would want to – like I have to know the person, their mentality – you know, how they handle certain things. Like, it's not about are you a freshman or a fifth-year senior. It's about just, like, who you are as a person. Like, that catching punts to me is more – obviously, it's physical. You have to be able to catch. But it's more of a mental thing.
More of a mental moment.
It's hard to catch something when guys are running at you full speed trying to kill you.
I don't disagree, but that's why you have to have a certain mentality to say, I'm going to focus on the ball and nothing else until I catch it. Then – I'll worry about the other stuff. When you start thinking about, am I going to get hit? Am I going to return this? Am I going to fair catch? Like, then that's when you just put it on the ground and nothing matters. I mean, A&M got lucky because they recovered a muff punt and then got very lucky when they muffed the punt and were able to recover it for themselves. I mean, that could have been a completely different game if those two go the other way. They would not have lost to Miami.
Final segment, hour two. Back at you next.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Final segment, hour number two. It's three and out. If you miss any portion of the podcast, you can miss any portion of the program. Check out the podcast and make sure you subscribe on iTunes so you get those directly to your device. Also on SoundCloud, all that good stuff as well. Tim says Rusty needs to text a buddy.
For those who don't know, Rusty lives in Florida. So it's extra painful for him when the Vols lose. One of the many in the fan base who are, I think, hopeful but not getting their hopes up.
It did remind me of Justin Hunter going down, though, when I saw Tillman go down. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, because the trio of receivers we had during the Dooley years there for a minute was very reminiscent of where we are, what we were saying now about this trio.
Patterson, Hunter, Rogers.
So the next year, the week before we were set to play NC State, Dayrick got kicked off the team. Yeah. It was going to be Dayrick, Rogers, Justin Hunter, and Cordero Patterson in 2012. That offense broke records anyway without Dayrick, who might have been the best pro prospect of all of them
if
he could have kept his head on straight. I mean, Cordero was a different dude. I mean I don't know if I'll ever see anybody like him.
Right.
The that size and speed and the ability at that size to juke and.
Now he's still scoring touchdowns in the NFL as a running back.
As a running back, yeah. And he probably breaks Devin Hester's kickoff return touchdown record if they don't adjust the yardage and make kickoff returns in the NFL basically impossible. But yeah, I don't hear me say that this is not a good receiver group. I think I would absolutely take that group over this group just because those guys were freaks.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, but Rodgers was a great college receiver, and obviously Hunter Patterson and Derrick, had he kept his head on straight, would have all played in the NFL for a long time. See, I didn't think that about Tillman because you knew exactly what Hunter's was when he went down. The way he landed and then just immediately went down and grabbed it.
You didn't have that fear as soon as he grabbed that spot on his knee for a second?
Mm-mm. I didn't.
I did, but I don't know. Because usually you saw a different angle.
Usually when you pop the ACL, like, you're writhing in pain. I've heard some people say it's like someone shoots you.
I just didn't like the way that guy went into the side.
Oh, no, I completely hear that. Yeah, I didn't like that either. But he just looked calm. He looked like, this hurts, but it's not. And that could just be him. Like, Jamal Lewis tore his ACL against Auburn and then broke off a 45-yard run before he was like, you know, my knee doesn't quite feel right. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he's out for the season. So some people do just kind of handle it differently. But no, I wasn't worried about it. And then he gets up and walks off and then comes out of the tent and says, I'm good. And then obviously tweets after the game, dirty, which they were. This is nothing more than me. I'm kind of thinking we see Tillman at least a little bit Saturday, maybe early, just to give it a go.
Hey, even if he can't early on, I mean, you talk about a great decoy to use. Cedric Tillman would be the guy.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, even if he can just kind of...
What if he's just out there for warm-ups? Like, Florida's seeing that, coaches seeing that.
Even the first couple plays, if you just put him over there as a decoy, to Hickman's point, if they have to kind of double him because they're scared of him, don't know, and then you could steal a touchdown on the other side to Hyatt or Brew or something like that, that might not be a bad... Even if he can't run full speed, but I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, he gives it a shot, and hopefully he's able to go. I say a shot, not like in the literal sense, although I guess that is a possibility.
What if his routes just stop, grabs his knee or something, but he's fine and he just takes off?
It's like, oh, this is like gotcha, over the top. Here we go. That would actually be, I don't know, I bet he would get killed for that. They'd be like, oh, Kenny Pickett did that and they changed the rule. You can't do that. Although there was a guy who did that in the NBA not that long ago. Faked an injury and, like, limped to the baseline.
Like, he was behind the play and they stole it.
Yeah, he was just over on the baseline, so the defender's watching him and then goes to double somebody else. Then he sneaks back in and gets a chip dunk because they thought he was hurt.
That's funny.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Interesting comments from Greg McElroy on his, what is it, all college football, all the time football podcast for ESPN. He said the problem with Anthony Richardson is not an injury, but rather that he is he's seeing the dollar signs for the NFL after week one, and he has made a business decision not to run and get hurt so that he can get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft this coming spring.
And over the last week, he's signed with Champ Sports.
Yes, signed a big NIL deal with Champ Sports.
His mind's other places.
He's distracted. I mean, I don't know. Like, you signed with Dan Mullen. You decided to stay at Florida. Maybe he doesn't think this offense suits him, doesn't like it, had a great week one, and now he's like, look, just get me to the end of the season. We saw it with Jamie Newman at Georgia during the COVID year. Goes to Georgia. Oh, he's going to win the Heisman. He's so big and so fast and so good. And then he just shuts it down because apparently transferring to Georgia made him a better quarterback. And then he went undrafted. I don't even know if he
now
made
he's in
a
the CFL.
Yeah, CFL. Okay, there we go. I was wondering where he went.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Anthony Richardson keeps playing like he's played the last 2 weeks, though, like he's not gonna get drafted in the same spot.
He would. No, but he'll still go in like top three rounds. Like, someone will take a flyer on him.
But if he played all out and looked great and ran around a lot and then tore his ACL, he'd go in the top three rounds. Like,
then you have to go through the
injury.
That's
a dumb business decision. Yeah, but there's a chance you don't get hurt,
too. I don't care if it's a dumb business decision. I think he needs to make this decision. I think he needs to shut it down. I think he needs to say...
I'm just saying it's not a very logical...
Calzada did it yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Calzada was like...
How did he even get hurt? He hadn't even played.
Exactly. What's his name? Finley goes down. Calzada, the reins are yours. You know what? I'm actually going to have a surgery and shut it down this year because this thing just
looking
ain't feeling right.
Line,
yeah, exactly. Calzada did it. Business decision.
And that little twerp beat Alabama last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dang,
I think Richardson should shut it down. He's got such a bright future.
Yeah.
Have you heard him talk, by the way?
Not much.
That dude has the deepest voice I've ever heard in my entire life.
Hour three next.
He's like, hey, what's up?